You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. The coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
7-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it.
Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Coach for IC Catholic football.
Matt Bowen, a man from Glen Ellyn, Illinois. He's very active.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
You don't talk about foot quickness enough with receivers or tight ends. It's always about top-end speed, right? That's why we watch the combine and look at the 40 times. That stuff's great, but when you're in the red zone, the field is reduced. You don't run vertical routes down there anymore. So do you have the foot quickness to separate versus press coverage or tight coverage? That's what Loveland has. He can weave a defender, force him to expand outside, whether it's the linebacker or safety, and then he has the foot quickness to separate inside. And that's where the rest of the traits come in. The strong hands, the point of attack, the frame, to shield the defender. I do think he's a matchup player for them.
Third and goal. Theo Bennett in alignment in motion. He gets cut. Williams floats it the other way. It's caught for a touchdown. Colston Loveland.
Wow, great play design. Watch Loveland. He's over here. He slips inside of the tackle. Of course nobody's going to cover him. They don't even see him.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Matt Bowen is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, we are so happy to have you on the show because you've been one of the people that we've been dying to talk to. And the reason is because looking at some of the things that Green Bay was able to do against the Bears defense, would love to get your perspective on how Jordan Love did when he saw man coverage and why the Bears struggled so much in some of their concepts.
I think a lot of it was matchups. First of all, you don't have Kyler Gordon on the field. That is a big minus for the Bears. When you go into any football game, when you want to play man coverage, especially in critical down and distance situations, because if you don't have the interior matchup, I think that's an issue for your defense, especially when Green Bay recognizes it. So what do? Let's go to the touchdown to Christian Watson. That is a scheme play in terms of personnel, knowing that Kyler Gordon's not up for the football game. You have Gardner Johnson now playing in the slot. Watson has a favorable matchup there. One, because of the foot quickness to separate, but two, the long speed to run away from coverage. So that's number one right there is, you know, not having your key personnel on the field. The other one, if you look at the Byard play that he gave up on the score, that's a really tough spot for a safety. And I've been there because you're bringing all out pressure. So as a defensive back, you are taught to what I use the term flat foot read. You play off about 8 or 9 yards and you flat foot. You don't give ground, right? Because you're going to challenge anything that's thrown in front of you. Play top down. Very similar to what we discussed at the end of the Pittsburgh game. You know, that last series of defense, those defensive backs were driving top down the football and making tackles, right? Same situation there. When that ball doesn't come out, now you're in trouble. Now you're in big trouble because now you're having a safety matchup to a wide receiver who can really run, and he crosses his face, and there's no help, right? Because it's an all-out pressure. So in that situation, the pressure has to get home. What happens? You have an edge player that falls down. You have a defensive back who's too tight to the core of the formation, in my opinion, cannot create an angle to get home in the pocket. So a couple issues in those two plays, but really it's matchups and not winning critical down and distance situations when you have those negative matchups.
Boy, it's a lot of good stuff in there. Let's go back to Kyler and just think about that for a little while. When you lose him as close to kickoff as they did, it obviously can create a scramble. Like, should you change your thoughts as a defensive coordinator at that point, or do you have to trust your guys that close to kickoff? What happens?
That's a great question, Spies, because usually you know on Friday, right? And you have time to make adjustments, maybe bring someone up from the practice squad, or adjust your scheme. But when it happens that close, right, the game plan is already in. Doesn't mean you can't adjust. Everyone adjusts. You have to adjust in the NFL. Every series you adjust. But I think that the situation where Dennis Allen is put in a tough spot again because he doesn't have one of his top defensive backs in the field and he wants to play certain things, right? You go into a football game saying we can win these moments, Speaks, because of our personnel, what we can do from a scheme perspective. But now some of that's taken away. So it's always easy to go back and look at it. Did we play more zone in that situation? Do we not bring the all-out pressure in that situation? There's things you always look back at in the play caller and said, I wish I would have done X, Y, or Z. But ultimately, you're put in a really tough spot when you lose a guy in pregame. And look, I've seen it happen. I saw it happen during my career. I saw guys that woke up sick Sunday morning in the hotel and couldn't play. It happens, right? It does happen. That's why you have your backup players. But again, it's still a drop-off when you don't have Kyler Gordon out there.
On the play where it looked – let me ask it this way. I'll ask it this way. How do you think Jalen Johnson looks right now?
I think he looks like a player that hasn't played a lot of football. It has nothing to do with talent, nothing to do with skill set, traits, football intelligence. He's got all that. We know that. He's a top-tier corner in this league. But when you don't play football, it has an impact on how you look on game days. And, you know, I've been asked this question a lot this week because, you know, not trying to change the subject, but Jaden Daniels, right? You bring Jaden Daniels back for the last month of the season. Absolutely you do. He needs to play football. Young player needs to play. That's how you develop. It's the same thing for a veteran player. You need to be on the field. And when you miss time, including time in training camp, one, your conditioning level, two, your physicality, being able to set your pads, but overall, it's your play speed and getting up to that play speed because they're not moving, used to moving at that pace.
So, Matt, you know, the Jalen Johnson thing definitely on my mind, too, and the way that Lawrence was thinking about asking it. It's such an interesting thing because he got called out by Tom Brady on the broadcast for not going back and being the other half of essentially a cover two on the back end. There's another play where another former quarterback, JT O'Sullivan, in his film breakdown, he wondered why Jalen Johnson wasn't dropping back on the first touchdown to Watson that you were talking about that maybe should have been dropping back there. So that's two from people, you know, who are trying to break it down. And I'm sitting here wondering, is Jalen Johnson being used in ways that maybe he didn't expect by Dennis Allen, or was he not part of enough practices to know how to execute some of this usage? What do you see when I ask you this?
Well, look, ultimately with Jalen Johnson, what do you want him to do? You want him to play man coverage, right? That's why you're paying him a lot of money, because he's a very good man coverage corner. He's got physical coverage traits, and he's got ball skills. So you want to put him in a position where he can match a top receiver and a position where he can use his, you know, natural football intelligence to take the ball away and put himself in those positions. I think Dennis Allen is trying to do that. You brought up the play that Brady mentioned, and I thought at first, Speaks, it was an invert cover two, just like you said, with, you know, Brisker, the deep half to the field, and then you have Johnson open and sink and be the deep half to the boundary. I've talked to some people who are very smart. Some people think it's cover six, deep half to the field. Kevin Byard, they're playing quarters in the backside, and Byard, you know, spins down as almost like a middle lurker. A lot of different ways to look at it. But ultimately, speaks to your point, there's a vacated zone over the top, right? That's the issue with the defense. It doesn't matter what you call it. there's a vacated zone in the outside third or the outside half of the field. And that's a problem because it got you beat, right? So that needs to be fixed. When you're watching the film this week of the player up at house, all that needs to be fixed, whether it was cover six or two invert, doesn't matter. Someone needs to be in the deep half of that field. But with Jalen Johnson, I think more reps playing for a new defense coordinator, right? That's exactly what it is right there.
So it's interesting that he brings up the people that Matt has talked to, Lawrence, like maybe it's not Jalen, maybe it was Byard. But either way, I could see Ben not wanting to call either of them out the way that he did. He kind of deferred assigning blame yesterday.
When I was watching it, Matt, the first thing I was like, man, I feel like he didn't get enough depth on that play. And then I was like, well, maybe he was influenced by Reed because Reed comes across. And I was trying to figure it out, too. I was like, is that quarter half, or is that them playing two? And I couldn't quite figure it out, but I knew that he didn't look quite right on the play.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great point, because ultimately Green Bay had the concept to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically double post. You can call it double cross. It's double post. You have a deep post over the top and a shallow crosser. And that shallow crosser designed to influence the defender, to hold the defender from getting depth. It did exactly what it was meant to do. So give credit to Green Bay. They made the right call in that situation. Sometimes the play call, Lawrence, you say, you know what? They got me. And if you're Dennis Allen in that situation, you say, they got me. They did. We lost that play. Can we come back and win more? Yes. But in that situation, it was Matt LaFleur who won it.
I keep thinking about Keyshawn Nixon, who went away from his assignment on the pivotal fourth down play and went back and made the interception. Evan Williams had kind of, you know, come up to try and cover the flat. And I mean, I got to give credit to Keyshawn Nixon for leaving his spot. And I don't know if Jalen should have done that on any of those plays, but like, how often does that happen in a Dennis Allen defense that guys need to adjust and just kind of cover each other's ass, no matter what the assignments are?
Well, I think, you know, the Speeds, I think ultimately you have to play within the structure of the defense, right? That's what you're coached to do on a football team is, hey, if I have the deep half, I'm in the deep half, right? Now, there are times where you coach players differently, especially superstars, guys that can play outside of structure because they have this natural playmaking ability that you allow them to freelance a little bit, but still within the structure. And I think the Nixon plays a little different, right? Because that's a got-to-have-it moment. That's win the football game or lose the football game. And if you're in coverage and your coverage is underneath and there's a lot of traffic, and you see someone run past you, you should probably turn around and cover them, right? That's basically what happened in that situation. Because, look, and I've had this discussion, too, with a bunch of my friends who are Bears fans. Was it the right call for Ben Johnson? Yeah, it was. The tight end was wide open. It worked. No one covered the tight end. So that is a really smart play call. And look, if you're a Bears fan and you're questioning that, you wanted Ben Johnson here because he was aggressive. He's going to try to win. That's what he tried to do in that situation. He didn't run off tackle. He tried to win the football game. He had the right play called. It fooled the defense. Nixon made a great play, and the quarterback didn't put enough energy on the ball down the field to complete the pass. But the play call itself, in my opinion, was the right one. You're on the road. Go for the win. I'll tell you what. I would expect if they did complete that pass to go for two and actually win the football game.
We were all thinking, and Tanny had brought it up like 10 minutes before they got to that point, the idea like, yeah, they should go for two if they end up getting into the end zone. And Caleb had said on that play that he was thinking too much, and we've been trying to work through some of that because they used that play last week against Philadelphia, and he made the right choice in the right moment. It was an incredible play by him to get the ball down the field. And I wonder, what do you think maybe stalled him that Green Bay did? Because it seemed like they overloaded on the run, and they were like, we were not letting you run for this. So what do you think was going through his head during the play?
I think first thing, Marcus, is can I run for a first down? Right? Because it's a boot concept. You have kind of an edge there. Caleb's shown all season he can outrun players on the field. His play speed is excellent. And maybe he can, you know, get the first down as a runner. Or do I take the underneath throw? And I think he got to the tight end a little late. I think that's all it really was, with his eyes getting there a little late. And like you said, there's a lot to think in that situation. It's also a split-second decision at the same time.
Yep.
You really don't have that much time to think and say, am I going to do this, this, or this? You better pick one now. I think he was a little late picking the right one and getting to the tight end to throw it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the simplest answer and makes the most sense. and we know it takes him a little while. Boy, Matt, you played up there for the Pack. Mm-hmm. We don't like to bring it up, but Lawrence did bring it up twice earlier in the show. I'm just saying. But
he's not ashamed of the fact that he was an NFL player.
Well, maybe he should be, that he played for the Pack. I kid. It looks like hits hurt more up there. Like the Menungai collision with Edgerrin Cooper. Yeah. Oh, my God. Does it hurt more in the cold, and does it hurt more at Lambeau, or am I just projecting?
No, it hurts more in the cold. I think it hurts more in classic divisional football games. You know, the AFC North, the NFC North. And I'll tell you what, watching that game, I think we agree on this. It felt like a playoff game, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, just the weather, the physicality of it, it was faster. I thought the tempo of the game was faster in terms of player movement. The ability and the demand for people to make high-level plays, the energy from the crowd, and just the late game feel when the lights are on the whole football game. It just felt like such a big football game, and it was. Really, the last two of the day. I don't know who watched the game after Kansas City and Houston. That was physical and violent, too. I mean, those both felt like big-time football games, and this is what you want at this point of the season. Whether you're a coach or player or a fan of the Chicago Bears, you want your team to be in this level of football games. And that's what you saw on Sunday.
Yeah, you did. And the game before that, the Bengals and the Bills, was offensive madness in the snow with two great quarterbacks. Right. There's a reason that the NFL is taking over the world. I like what you said, that the hits hurt more in classic division rivalry games. That makes all the scientific sense in the world to me.
It does. And like we talked about last week, Bears-Packers has a different feel to it. When I was in Washington, Washington-Dallas had a much different feel to it.
Hmm.
You know, Philly-New York Giants, much different feel to those games. The best way I can say it, not today's college football, where I'm not going to get into what happened this week, but back when I played, it felt like a bowl game, right? It felt like a bowl game. Like it meant something, right? It meant more. So I just... The best part about playing this league is once the calendar gets to Thanksgiving and you're in it. When I mean you're in it, you have a shot to get to the tournament. That is the best football outside of the postseason. And just the ability to compete at that level, because it's demanded of you every week if you want a chance to get in there.
Your last year was Phillip's first year, right? Were you in Buffalo when he was in San Diego?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was in Buffalo. That's right. I think his first year was 04, though, right? Was it 04 or 05?
I think it's 06.
Was it 06? Yeah. Yeah, that was my last year with the Bills with Coach Duran. Yeah.
Are you amazed that Phillip is out here getting ready to play again?
Yeah, I am. 100% I am. Because it'd be different if Phillip had retired a year ago, right? It's been a while now.
It's been 1,800 days.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'll tell you what, I'm interested to see if it happens, if they bring him up on the active roster this week and he plays in a football game. There's no question Phillip Rivers can still throw the football. I think everyone understands that. But it's the mobility, the physicality of the game, getting your pad set once again. That will be a challenge. And we're talking about Jalen Johnson, who missed, you know, training camp beginning the season. Here we're talking about a guy that's missed 5 years.
Yeah, 04 to 19, he played with the Chargers, and then the 1 year in Indy, and since then he's been the head coach of St. Michael Catholic High School. So, Matt, this is you. It really is. This is you coming back. You got – how many snaps you got at safety if you had to this weekend?
Oh, I could go for three or four. Yeah, but then the problem would be if I was in a situation like Kevin Byard was the other day with the receiver on me, that'd be lights out.
Wow. Well, which body part would you be most concerned about? Hamstring, Achilles, shoulder?
Achilles, for sure. I don't play basketball or pickleball or any of that stuff just because I'm so nervous of popping my Achilles. That's the only reason I don't do it, is because of that injury. That's the one I'm still scared about, yes.
Well, the ACC Rookie of the Year from the year 2000 might play this weekend for the Indianapolis Colts.
The second grandfather in the NFL
might play in the NFL this week. That's pretty wild. Matt, as always, man, we appreciate the perspective. Thanks for the education on the coverage.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
That's Matt Bowen.
Yeah, it's interesting because Ben Johnson refusing to assign individual blame on this specific touchdown. If it's Kevin Byard, who's the stud and his veteran who he loves and
his
respects.
Voice in the locker room.
Yes, yes. That I could see very much him not wanting to call him out.
You also maybe don't want to pile on Jalen because Jalen is working his way back. He's clearly like going through like a personal transition too.
Yes.
Maybe you don't want to pile on a guy that maybe even played more snaps than he was supposed to because you lose Kyler 90 minutes before the game.
Yeah, guy who's trying. So either way, you could see it in that scenario. All right, well, it's fascinating. Lawrence, the Cubs keep saying something I just don't believe. I really just do not believe it.
That they're going to spend money this year?
Well, no, I think they might, but
that concrete is really expensive?
Oh, boy. That was a rough go.
You don't believe that?
Yeah, well. No, I do believe the concrete is expensive. I just don't believe you should be complaining about that on a 50,000-watt blowtorch on the weekend of the winter meetings. I don't believe that.
All right. Well, let's hear from the guy on the baseball operations side, because I think that he said something that Spiegs ain't buying.
Mm-hmm.
Jed Hoyer, who you crapping? Next on the
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Sure. There have been reports out there that the Cubs have the third highest revenue in Major League Baseball and yet the 14th highest payroll.
Thanks for starting off with a softball. Appreciate that. it's really hard to compare one team to another. The revenue line that I see used most often is pre-revenue sharing. When you look at gross revenue numbers before revenue sharing, before CapEx, before property tax, before amusement, but all that, you're not really seeing a real picture about what's available to put into your baseball budget. You know, it'd be like me saying, hey, David, what was your gross income? And then what's your biggest expense? Let's call it your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you're really rich.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, yeah, but you've ignored all of my other expenses and my taxes. So it's fodder. It's interesting to talk about, but it's, you know, wildly inaccurate.
I don't know if that's quite apples to apples here, but I digress. Wait, I don't digress. Just for a minute. According to a lot of numbers, the Dodgers revenue, they spend 73% of their revenue on the baseball operation. The Cubs, if we're being generous on most of the reporting on this, are somewhere around 40%. That's why, to me, the Dodgers are not the evil empire.
Well, I don't want that to sidetrack it. I know. Sidetrack the segment or conversation.
Now I digress.
Well, that was a digress. That was a digression right there. But I hear you. Look, Crane Kenny, that was part of a couple of few minutes of kind of trying to massage the messaging and massage the thought process that a lot of fans are having as they hear about the money and the spending. It's a really interesting offseason. Like just 2 days ago, there was an article in The Athletic where Patrick Mooney and Sadaf Sharma were like, the Cubs realize they need to spend. Okay, so there's yet another, you know, informed source or a couple of sources saying they know they need to spend. So here they come. All right, and then you heard they were close on Dylan Cease, et cetera. They need to spend, and they need to spend fast. This is an offseason where guys are signing quickly. Schwarber he played the game with the leverage to try and get a fifth year, got the fifth year, and immediately got it.
There are some guys who aren't going to wait till March.
Dylan Cease apparently told Scott Boras, I would like to be in Toronto. Go ahead and work out that deal. And so Boras did. Okay, done. The Mets are missing out on some people. There's talk that the Mets want Michael King. If they're going to zone in on Michael King, that's the guy that I want. And I think that's the guy the Cubs should want most of all. And I know it's a guy they do want. Go get him right the hell now.
Like the Dodgers did with Edwin Diaz.
They closed a deal on Edwin Diaz. Absolutely. There are some teams maybe decided between Michael King or Framber Valdez or Ranger Suarez. And if you're the Cubs, you want to play a little okey-doke while you wait for the numbers to come down or wait for Michael King's market to settle. Don't do that. Go get the guy you want. I hope that they move fast. But there's a way that Jed Hoyer is talking about the Shota Imanaga thing that I just don't buy. This is the most recent bit of it, right? This is yesterday. This is Jed talking about what a lot of us believe was something they didn't really want to happen, but ended up happening, which is Shota taking the qualifying offer.
You know, we had the club option, he had the player option, and then, you know, obviously, you know, we knew, you know, we knew if he didn't accept the player option that we were going to offer the qualifying offer. You know, we knew there's a possibility he'd accept it, and we didn't know, obviously, the odds of it. Clearly we wouldn't have offered it if we weren't excited to have him back and if we were going to be handcuffed by it, so... We weren't blindsided at all. We definitely didn't think it was a 100-0 that he was going to, you know, decline, or 0-100. And we knew it was somewhere in that range. And I think that was actually the case for, you know, for all the guys that ended up accepting. I think it was for all of them, it was sort of like, okay, there's a debate, you know. I didn't think there was any guys it was obvious, like, this guy's clearly going to accept. I think four guys accepted because, I don't know, it was in sort of that gray area. We're definitely getting a super motivated pitcher back. He didn't like the way the season ended.
The adjustments that need to be made are largely physical, or there's some mental hurdles?
I think largely physical. I mean, I think that he sort of, like, you know, I don't know what to say here, you know, but I think we look at where he was when he came back from the hamstring, and I think, like, he probably created some bad habits, whether those were just bad habits, whether they were caused by actual limitations, whether they were caused by imagined limitations. I mean, who knows, but I think there was definitely changes to the quality of the fastball as a result, and I think that everything for him kind of stems off of great ride he has on the fastball, and that wasn't the case at the end of the year. So, like I said, you know, who knows where all those things start, because it wasn't as if he came right off the IL and struggled. He actually had a lot of really good starts in there, but clearly, things caught up with him, and he struggled at the end. So,
I suppose in his defense, it's not like you can say, yeah, we didn't want him, and we gambled that he wasn't going to take the offer, and we were surprised, and it's unfortunate. When you have the guy, I suppose that you can't say that, but he really gave it to you there in the middle. Like, it wasn't 100. You know, we weren't sure, and I think that's all the guys. They were absolutely surprised. And Jed has been saying that it's not going to preclude them from getting a starting pitcher of consequence, that it's not going to preclude them from spending. That's the part that I don't buy. I just don't buy it until I see it, until I see you really spend on the guy that you want. And if it wasn't Dylan Cease, okay. If it's Michael King, great. If it's Zach Gallen, I like that a lot less. If it's Tatsuya Amai, I like that a little bit less. I like King and then Amai and then Gallen. But until I see them close the deal on one of those guys, I don't buy this idea that they're not hamstrung by Shota accepting the offer. I think they are.
I don't know if they're necessarily hamstrung. I do think that it still reeks of bad business. And you took a gamble. And Jed is at least admitting to the fact that they took a gamble on Shota taking the qualifying offer. He's not going to tell us that they thought it was 10%, but he's not saying that we were 100% committed to him coming back. Now, I get it. The club option is a non-starter. That's a three-year deal, and you don't want to be committed to almost anybody for more than 3 years if you're the Cubs, especially not a pitcher in their 30s who doesn't have an overpowering fastball. My issue is still with, if you wanted Shota back, that's one thing. It's another thing to have a guy who had a disappointing season that Jed is pointing out there might be stuff that they have to fix with him physically, and then inadvertently or advertently give him a 50% raise.
Understood. Look, see, here's the thing, Lawrence. If that $22 million wasn't on the books right now, I think they would have closed a deal on the guy they wanted already. The way this market is going, if it was Cease that they wanted, they could have closed on that. If it is Michael King that they want, they could have closed on Michael King. Or Gallen, like, if they didn't have that 22 mil from Shota saying yes, I think they would have been aggressive. They told everybody they're going for pitching. They said they were doing it. We know they want it. But now they're forced, because of their limitations of what they've decided is only another 50, 60 million that they're going to spend, that they don't want to spend too much. So they're trying to wait it out and hope the market comes back to them. Without that 22, I think their guy is with them right now.
I want to go back to what you said about spend now if you're the Cubs. And I think that the Cubs, what it looks like their strategy is, I'm not in those meetings. This is not anything that someone's told me. This is just looking from the outside. It looks like part of their strategy is, hey, man, there's probably going to be a work stoppage. So we got to figure out how to make our team really good for 1 year. And then we can reassess. We spent all this time getting bad money off the books. Let's not put more bad money on the books, but let's try to win in the margin in 2026. And so I wonder about whether or not, I think that they had the right mentality. I'm okay with that as a strategy, as long as you then pounce, like what you're talking
pounce
about.
Pounce on Michael King, who doesn't need a 5 to 7 year deal. You're going to be able to get him for 3 years at a high AAV. That doesn't lock you in for all eternity if there's a work stoppage. You're not giving out 210. So go ahead and lock that guy in right the hell now. Like, there is aggression within limits that can still fit the way they view the landscape.
Do they need even more pitching? Are we sure that Justin Steele is coming back and going to be a part of their rotation before midway point of next season?
That's why they need one. That's why they absolutely need at least one. That's why they absolutely need at least one in addition to having Shota. They needed two. And so now you're locked in at Shota at 22, and you'll have to get at least one more. Yeah, I mean, because you'll have Boyd, you'll have Tyone, you'll have Shota, you'll have Cade Horton, who you hope is going to be able to give you a lot more, and you'll have Javier Assad that you can look at. You've got Colin Ray you could look at. You've got Jordan Wicks you could look at. What you don't have there is a power righty that you're like, give that guy game one of a playoff series, or give him 5 innings in a consequential game. King is that. I don't think Gallen is that. I think Imai might be that. I'm not sure.
Zach Gallen's what, 30?
31, I think. And the stuff has fallen off a bit.
How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
So, Scott, how many quarts does it take to get a gallon?
Ladies and gentlemen, is he Abbott or Costello in this?
He's Abbott. He's Abbott.
Yeah. Boris is Costello.
Yep.
Well, I think for Zach, it's high quality. Never crude, always refined. And when you pull up to the pitching pump, you know, a gallon is always premium. So he's exactly a rotation fit.
Okay. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Bruce went measuring cups.
Yeah.
And Boris went gasoline.
Bruce was guessing on the angle of the pun.
I think Bruce deserves a spot in the writer's room.
You know he's gunning for that. He would run screaming from the score and marquee.
So would I. If they were like, hey, we just need you to punch up a couple of... We're going to pay you, and you can live wherever. Just be there for the GM meetings and the winter meetings. We just need you to punch up a couple of jokes for Scott. I'd run from this job.
We also need you to carry the soapbox. Could you be the guy carrying the soapbox?
100. I carry one every day. Fine.
You do?
We a talk show host. You gotta have your soapbox.
But I mean literally, physically.
Yes. Yes. For what Scott Boris can probably pay me? Uh-huh. Yes. I'll punch up your bad puns and carry your soapbox.
Texters say that they want to trade for Mackenzie Gore, or they want to trade everything they have for Tarek Skubal. Like, you need a game one starter if you're not going to get Michael King.
Okay.
In my mind. So, boy, you ready to give up the farm for 1 year of Tarek Skubal? If you think there's going to be a work stoppage and you don't want anything on the books.
I mean, didn't you kind of do that for a right fielder?
You did, but then you stopped short of continuing down that path. So,
yeah, and the reasons why are questionable. It's questionable why you stopped.
Talk about exciting a fan base if you trade for Tarek Skubal.
Talk about exciting a fan base if you would assign Kyle Schwarber.
Got a lot of options to excite a fan base, but it's not a fan base that's very excited right now. A lot of people waiting around, waiting for them to show you something.
And maybe they will. Like, there's still time, I think, for them to have an impact. But I thought that they would be a little bit more aggressive because it totally makes sense for them to throw a lot, maybe not go for everything, but throw a lot at the 2026 season and say, all right, we're pretty good. How about we get great and go for it?
This is the time to absolutely do that. Time to do that is right now. And maybe the Mets are going to push him. Maybe the Mets will push him on Michael King as of right now.
Maybe the Mets get there first.
It could.
And they got some extra money because they don't have Edwin Diaz anymore because the Dodgers got there first.
Dude.
The Dodgers.
They needed a closer and they got themselves the best on the market.
Yep. That's what the Dodgers do.
That's why they're the evil empire.
That's why they're world champions.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
We're going to have some fun during the old work stoppage.
Yeah, no, we are.
Editors, no, we're not.
Yeah, we are, because we're going to be talking college football, baby. That's what we're going to be doing.
At 5:25, we are. That's for sure.
We're FIU Tech. Pete Futak's going to be on the show. But, I mean, during the work stoppage, we just might get into spring games. Can you imagine us broadcasting from the Illinois spring game? Let's go.
I don't know, man. I'll be breaking down every aspect of the CBA.
How many shows can we do from Circa? Can we do the entire work stoppage from Circa?
By then, you know, Bowen's kid will be playing somewhere. We can go and watch him.
I like your idea, Tanny. We do a marathon broadcast from Stadium Swim.
We'll call it a radiothon.
I'm listening.
No one's ever done anything like that.
That's a new type of situation.
Yes, it really is. Yeah, we're going to broadcast until the waitresses come home. That's what we're going to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't be following them.
That's for my personal dream of a radiothon, to broadcast until the cows come home. I want to go to a farm and let the cows out and just literally broadcast until they come home.
You laugh.
Can I do that?
There is literally a rodeo across the street from Circa.
Is there really?
Yeah, they've had it over there when we've been there a couple times.
They got cows there? Rodeo's mostly horses.
They definitely have cows.
Oh, they got bulls, yeah.
Yeah, at the rodeo.
Those are cows. Those are male cows. It's a good point. Lawrence, I live in the city.
Old Western Matt over here.
I'm a regular old city slicker.
Dead-eye Spiegel.
Lawrence, it's so funny you mentioned the rodeo. Did you hear, like, they had some problems in the Vegas rodeo?
Oh, they did?
Yeah. There was a herpes virus outbreak. Oh. See, he just saw it for himself.
The horses got it? Or the cows?
Oh,
or
no.
The people? That's
right,
too bad.
That's actually really bad.
I'm gonna go there next time
the
we go.
The cows.
Oh,
they cow came home
herpes.
And yeah,
that's
equine
tough.
Herpes.
Oh no.
I mean, the worst part about that for the cow is you come home and you're like, your cow wife is like, where'd you get that? How did you come up with that? And you got to come up with a story.
There you go, Vegas.
You got to understand.
No, my bad. It was the horses, right? Is it the horses or the cows?
Alexander, you're on the internet.
It was one
you're
of the two. It was the
journalist. Okay, this is no way. You're not going to win your list score doing this.
Yeah, Alex, come on.
That's messed
up. You're playing catch up on journalism awards on this show.
We should probably.
It was the horses.
Okay.
All right, it was the horses. When we come back.
Right before their birthday speaks.
It's not good.
That's too bad.
You want to hear some interesting stuff about Darnell Wright? We have some stuff from a buddy who's going to be a guest on our show tomorrow that you need to hear about him next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Score.
Swift on the ground has a big hole. First down across the 40 as DeAndre Swift hits it hard for a gain of 11. Just really well done here on the outside. Darnell Wright really coming into his own as one of the top right tackles in the league. Does a nice job there on Abdul Carter.
It's been a really good season for Darnell Wright. I think that he will get Pro Bowl consideration, and he should get Pro Bowl consideration this year. And maybe you get your wish, Spiegs. Because Jalen Carter's got two shoulders that don't work after playing the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, at what point does it take for Darnell Wright to possibly overtake Jalen Carter as a better draft pick?
A bunch of all pros in a Super Bowl.
A bunch of all pros?
Yeah, because Jalen's got two.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Yeah, two. He's got two of them. So.
I agree. A Super Bowl, how about if it's length of time? Like if he's like a 6-year pro bowler, but not all pro, and Jalen Carter fizzles. You know what I mean? Like we should check back in on this.
If Jalen Carter has the Tommy Harris career.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Where it's exemplary for a few years and then goes away. It's certainly one to revisit down the line, but Darnell Wright's catching up.
He's doing really well. And Teron Armstead, who's going to be on our show tomorrow at 3, he talked about on his show how Dan Roschar Darnell talked about with Teron Armstead on how Dan Roschar has changed his career.
I'm not going to, like, he was saying basically, you're a good player, because I always had a problem with confidence. Like, I don't think I'm, you know, all that sometimes. He was like, you're already a good player, but there's some steps that to make you even, like, a great player if you want to be known, you know. And I think he instilled a little bit of confidence. I never really had a coach, like, on that level really talk to me like you can be a great player. I mean, I've you say you have potential and stuff, but he's saying, like, you're already a pretty good player and you have the opportunity to be, like, a great player. And so that was, like, a big confidence boost. And it was just me and him just working. I remember OTAs, early OTAs, we're just working, talking about stuff. And really, I think the biggest thing, honestly, the biggest thing, like, he just, the consistent coaching, he's not always changing something. He's just keeping it real all the time, just consistent, telling you what needs to be said. He's not doing anything extra. He's not doing too little, just consistent.
Man, it makes me want to hear that whole thing. That's really cool. Because, like, we all need that coach who doesn't just ride you and try to make you get better, but reminds you that, no, look, you're really good. This is why I want to help you be great.
It's funny because offensive line coaches kind of have the reputation of being the kick in the butt and not arm around the shoulder type guy. And Darnell just seems like a really thoughtful kid. And when you hear him talking, you don't hear him talk that often, but he seems really thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
And his play is matching what they hoped it would be. And it's funny how you find the right combination of coach and player, and the coach finds the right combination of how I can get through to this player. And he seems to have found it. You know, like I also, at some point, we could talk with Teron about this tomorrow. I wonder now, do we need to start having longer conversations about Ozzie Trapillo's career trajectory? Because are we now, is it now like, hey, he actually might be a left tackle?
And it's been a couple weeks, and Theo's been healthy as an option, so we know he's the choice in regards to that. Yeah, it's interesting. I'll need to talk to some people who really know offensive line play. So looking forward to Teron Armstead tomorrow at 3. We here at Turn the Page Industries, though, find it interesting that he's at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. Alex, are you aware that we usually do a segment there? Are you all right with that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm well aware totally okay with it.
Yeah, this was the time that Teron could be on the show. Uh-huh. So we're gonna move.
We're just like that. We're gonna move we do and turn the page.
I'm like by 4 o'clock, we'll be talking about the next Packers game already. I would miss our window and talk about the Browns completely.
It's a trap segment.
Trap. Admiral Akbar has spoken.
Uh-huh. We gotta be real careful about moving that around.
I think that's probably the call of the executive producer of the show.
Yeah, he's a little drunk with power. I'm a little worried about that. You know,
You told him to be in charge of the show.
Yeah, I did. I did lean on him about that.
But also, we said traditions mean a lot around here.
It's true, Tanner.
And the sanctity of Turn the Page is the most important thing.
Speaking of the sanctity of traditions around here, we have to get to the bottom of this whole victory chicken situation with John Kuhn.
No, I've gotten to the bottom of it.
He says that he had victory chicken as a player.
I don't believe him.
He insists that it's a thing for him that goes back to when he was a player.
I don't believe him.
I think, were they listening to the score?
I'm sure they were.
Or was Dan McNeil a secret Packer fan?
Wow.
Who stole the tradition from John Kuhn? First, secret Packer fan.
Where's Pablo Torre when you need him?
First you levy accusations against Rami, and now you're going,
yeah. Going right to the top of the Victory Chicken Pyramid.
I found out about it when we would go up to Platteville. The guys that have a lot of Victory Chicken after games thought I'd bring it back. I talked to Jigs about it.
That was a really good Mac.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I also produced him.
You're also on the tree. Boy, it's a big tree.
When we come back, let's talk about the quarterback of the Bears, and let's talk about where he's trying to get to and who's trying to help him get there. That's next here on The Score.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.